News. I'm Sherry Preston. Delivering a fiery State of the Union address last night, President Biden used the occasion to position himself as a continuing to counter Donald Trump heading into 2024. ABC News Deputy Political Director Avery Harper has more.
His campaign had been marking this speech as a new phase in the campaign for them. That's about defining the choice that Americans have now between Biden and Trump. And despite the fact that he never mentioned his name, I think it was very clear that Biden was trying to draw a contrast. And we saw this on a variety of issues. We saw this on defending democracy. We saw this on reproductive rights. We saw this on the economy.
The Republican response delivered by Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader.
5 months into the war, the people of Gaza are facing widespread hunger. Now a ship bearing humanitarian aid is making preparations to leave Cyprus. International donors launching a new sea corridor. This is ABC News.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. representatives are split along party lines after last night's State of the Union address. Democrat Mark Pocan tells Spectrum News he liked what he heard about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. Republican Brian Stiles says he was listening to hear what the president had to say about the cost of living. One Wisconsin voter says she's more interested in policy than politics. Diane Valencia of Racine says she wanted to hear President Biden deliver straight talk about the State of the Union last night.
I expect a responsible person in a political position to give me facts and explain to me, as a nation, what are we supposed to do to make things possible.
Valencia says she was interested in hearing what the bipartisan infrastructure law is doing for her community. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The mother of missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu faces a new charge of chronic neglect of a child. Christina Bauer was in court yesterday on a preliminary hearing when the additional charges were announced. Bauer's attorney, Ann Larson, while acknowledging this is a high-profile case, has requested a bail reduction.
There's a lot of high emotion going on, but there's also high emotion going on with Ms. Bauer. She's been worried sick, not knowing where her son is.
The bail reduction was denied. Unusually warm temperatures have Northeast Wisconsin residents jonesing for longer days. More sunshine is coming our way as we spring forward at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, the start of daylight savings time. This is also the time of year when you're reminded to check the batteries in your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors in your home. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS WGBW News.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Hockey tonight at the Kohl Center. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Wisconsin men's hockey team against Ohio State tonight and tomorrow in Madison. Badgers head coach Mike Hastings says the last time they faced the Buckeyes, Ohio State won.
They're really good hockey players. And it was a series that we learned from. But you've got to tip your hat to Ohio State because that was a weekend that they didn't do it to us once. They did it twice. So, we learned a lot from that weekend, and hopefully we can apply that this weekend.
College hoops, the Badgers with a much-needed win over Rutgers, 78-66. Next, they'll face number 3-ranked Purdue in Indiana. NFL free agency starts next week. Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark on the Matt Rampage Show talked about what last year's young team was like during that 4-game losing streak.
Throughout all the ups and downs, we stay together as a team. Coach LaFleur just bringing us together as a team and keeping us together as a team. I just give him a lot of credit with that.
As Packers defensive end Kenny Clark with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Dark and damp today, with rain ramping up this afternoon as high temperatures climb to the low 40s. Tonight, winds begin to whip out of the north, pulling in below freezing temperatures. This is going to start to mix in some snow overnight and into early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Going to be a very busy Friday show today. Coming up at 10:30, we're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. 11:33, David Drake, a professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology from UW-Madison, is going to join us at 11:33. We're going to talk about skunks.
Ooh.
This is a report that I heard our colleague Pam Yonke do, the fabulous farm babe, and she actually sent me an email and said, oh, you got to talk to this guy. I'm like, we know David Drake.
Old Davey? We know Davey.
We know Dave. Dave, we go back with Dave a long time. So he's joining us at 11:33. Did want to remind you to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. You can listen to all of the Civic Media stations all across the state, and you can call and text directly from the app, which is pretty cool. If you ever want to email, shoot us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E says at civicmedia.us. First of all, it is Women's Day 2024. Happy Women's Day to all my female friends. I think it's important to acknowledge that on this Women's Day, women in America are going backwards. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. I was going to wish a happy birthday, but no, please go on.
So as we continue on the show, State of the Union address last night in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
I stayed up and watched the whole thing. I only watched a portion of the Republican rebuttal, which we'll get to a little bit later in this half hour. That was something.
I would say we could do a dramatic reading, but she already, took care of it.
Oh, and the parodies of this Katie Britt of Alabama, who gave the GOP rebuttal. She's being savaged this morning. That's never a good job to have.
No.
That's, nobody ever comes out of that looking good.
No, they find themselves relegated to the back part of the record store, the on sale racks.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this one.
Oh, this was a goodie.
Oh, this was a good one.
I love this one. So, President Biden delivering his State of the Union address last night, and what a shocker. Wisconsin's very own Derek Van Orden embarrassed us again.
Yeah.
And kind of early on in President Biden's speech.
Up top.
And this is after Speaker of the House Mike Johnson actually took all of his caucus aside and said, I want you to behave yourselves. He did.
You don't tell Derek Van Orden what to do.
Or apparently Marjorie Taylor Howling Monkey Green.
You didn't like her red ensemble?
And her red hat, which is a violation of the rules?
Yeah.
You told me the sergeant at arms actually told her to take it off.
He informed her that she had to take it off, and she refused, and she wore it anyways. And
she's such a rebel.
That speaks to so much of her privilege and her obnoxious nature. Just, I don't know. Like, last year it was the big coat.
Oh, yeah.
This year it's
all red. She's wearing campaign gear for Trump.
Yeah, that too. Other people were wearing campaign gear. It's like, you're not supposed to be wearing that in there. Just be respectful. You talk about America as this great nation that deserves respect and all this stuff, but you don't do it when it's on you because you think what you're doing is right when you just look like a moron.
Speaking of, and I don't know the name off the top of my head, but there was another Republican congressman who wore a T-shirt with Donald Trump's mugshot on it, and it says "Never Surrender," when that photo is literally when he surrendered to have his mugshot taken. Just a little detail.
Yeah.
It's those little things. Speaking of, Kelvin, let's play the first clip from President Biden last night, where we get a chance to hear Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden.
A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. A president.
Liar.
Took 10 seconds.
After the address, Van Orden confirmed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he was the member who yelled, saying, quote, "If President Biden thinks for a moment President Trump doesn't care about the American people, that's a lie," unquote.
I'm sorry, Greg, to interrupt you.
He also told the Journal Sentinel he felt it was shameful for President Biden to disparage Donald Trump. Now, President Biden never mentioned Donald Trump by name ever.
Yeah.
Not once. And just a reminder of all of the things that Donald Trump has said, not only about President Biden, but about other challengers of his. Donald Trump in 2023 at a rally said, "Crooked Joe," you know this. Did you ever hear this? "Crooked Joe is a low IQ individual, and he is truly the worst, most incompetent, and most corrupt president in the history of our country. But Derek Van Orden said it was shameful for President Biden to disparage President Trump. And like you said, this all goes back to rules for thee, but not for me.
Yep. He's Derek Van Orden.
I will set these standards. Only you have to follow them.
Mm-hmm. Derek Van Orden is a traitorous hypocrite. He was at January 6th. He doesn't deny that. He's not good for this country. He's
certainly not good for the 3rd Congressional District.
No, and I'd love to hear from, like, this. Hey, farmers in the 3rd District, give us a call. Let us know how much Derek Van Orden's been doing for you as a farmer in the 3rd District.
What has he brought back?
Yeah.
What has he brought back from Washington to help us out?
Yeah, except for a six-pack, maybe.
A couple six-packs, I have a
feeling. Well, it was two, but then it was one. He drank one.
855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842 if you want to call and or text or leave a comment on the live stream. We would love to hear from you. We're talking about last night's State of the Union address. Calvin, let's move on to the clip about protecting the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare.
Over 100 million of you can no longer be denied health insurance because of pre-existing condition. But my predecessor and many in this chamber want to take this prescription drug away by repealing the Affordable Care Act. I'm not going to let that happen. We stopped you 50 times before and we'll stop you again. In fact, I'm not only protecting it, I'm expanding it.
And just a reminder, when the Republicans had complete control in the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, they promised they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare and replace it with something so much better. So much better.
They've been promising to repeal Obamacare since 2012 when they had any semblance of power, over and over and over again. The House voted on it daily.
Pretty much.
And it never went anywhere.
And again, they had no replacement for
nope.
it.
No.
So all of the people who are on Obamacare now, they have no plan for you.
Nope.
They don't.
And they want to say they don't care because you're just going to be put in the wonderful arms of big hospital, but they can't say that out loud. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Dexter from the 608 listening on WRCE, Van Orden, decided he was going to yell something probably like a week ago. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Probably wrote it down in his hand. Be a baby on a national stage.
Democratic Representative Mark Pocan labeled Van Orden's behavior unbecoming and called on him to formally apologize to President Biden. He's an unstable person, Pocan tweeted. Certainly not capable of his job in Congress. Let's not forget Derek Van Orden, the one who went into the chambers yelling at Senate pages who were doing what sounds like a tradition.
Yeah.
At the end of their work as a page, they go in and they take pictures of the ceiling of the building and they lay on the floor. And he came in after having apparently a couple pops with some constituents and came in and was screaming and swearing at them. And why Representative Brian Stile has not released that video, I don't understand what the holdback is.
I do. You do too. You're not dumb. He does that. Is that good?
Is that a selective choice?
It's a selective choice. He's going to make his friend Derry Van Orden very, very dumb looking.
And we wouldn't want that.
Never.
We would not.
We're bigger than that, Jane. You and I are.
We're bigger than that.
We're adults.
Okay. Another clip that we wanted to do, his final remarks, Calvin, last night, President Biden from the State of the Union address.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so?
Oh, oh, that's fine, Calvin.
Conservatives got together and said it was a good bill. I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges, help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
I love it. You just see the red in the eyes. Dark Brandon starts to appear on the stage. He's like, "Oh, you don't like that, huh? Huh? I'm gonna ram this down your throat. You look like idiots."
But in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, like a grandpa.
Because he's always smiling. He got loud and he was a little angry at some points last night. And was it a perfect, flawless speech? No. We all know that he has struggled with a stutter his entire life.
Yep.
And there were some slip-ups, but overall, I thought it was a very, very well-done speech.
I liked it. I was working last night, so I didn't get to see it live. But what I did get to see, I enjoyed. And, you know, he's a good man. I'm sorry. I know it might be an unpopular opinion with a lot of people, including some liberals. But I don't think he's going into this job trying to make the most of his own pockets, if you will, lining his own pockets.
Definitely not.
I think he just wants to help.
Sorry, go ahead, Greg.
No, it might sound naive, but sometimes I just say what sounds like naive things.
855-75-CIVIC. If you had a chance to watch the State of the Union address last night, curious for your thoughts. 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. She gives me, and she starts to cry. A swing man, she can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling the Pointer Sisters vibe.
Are you so excited?
I'm so excited. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area coming up at 10:33, so stick around for that. We are talking about last night's State of the Union address and taking your calls and comments if you had the chance to watch it. I know a lot of people didn't. People have lives.
Yeah.
They have things that they're doing. But, Kevin, let's play that final comment that President Biden made during last night's State of the Union address. Let's hear that.
Let me close with this. I know you don't want to hear any more, Lindsay, but I got to say a few more things. I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation, between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future.
President Biden from last night's State of the Union address, if you didn't have a chance to watch it, and I know a lot of people didn't. We have some comments from the live stream.
Yeah, Greg Wansnyder saying, good morning from Mountaintop Coffee in downtown Waukesha.
Love Mountaintop Coffee.
Sitting here sipping my latte, listening to you guys. Wow, so fancy, Greg Wansnyder. So fancy. And then also Papa Rico said, there we go. We all know Joe could have retired years ago, but he's not in this for the fame and the money. He's in this because he cares about us. He cares about the country. I truly believe that.
I do too.
I think even if you disagree with him as a liberal or a progressive or whatever, I don't think it can be said that he's nefarious. He's, you know, when you watch his predecessor, as he put it, you know, that's not a man who cares about running the country. It's a man who cares about winning and being the guy. Joe Biden isn't like that. And that's what really bothers me when people try to equate them.
That they're the same.
They're the same. And if I'm voting, oh God, do I vote for Trump or Biden? What's the difference? There's a mountain of difference.
There's a huge difference.
There's a mountain of difference. And to think it's not is either ignorant or you're just being obstinate for its sake.
And if you don't think there's a difference, I highly encourage you just do a search or a transcript from a Trump rally.
Yeah.
Read that transcript. Do the same for President Biden. Read the transcripts side by side. You will not say that those two men are the same.
Ask yourself this one after you read them both. How good do you feel about America and yourself when you read that?
When you read those two speeches side by side, I think that's a really good point. Tim is on the line from Wales. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. It was actually really interesting sitting down with my 17-year-old that's going through a civics class, and he had to dissect the entire speech. And it was really interesting. It was more like a campaign speech versus a traditional like State of the Union, which was interesting.
Did what was your son's takeaway from it? I'm curious.
He actually had to go through and answer a bunch of questions for it, and it came out to, you know, they hit a lot of the topics right on cue. And then one of the questions that he asked, you know, is how it was really hard for him to answer is, how is he better off or worse off in the past, you know, 8 years?
Right.
And he's like, well, we're making more money. So that kind of hits him at home, and harder to find, you know, what he's going to do for, you know, a living wise, but
right.
After high school, but well, yeah, it was interesting how he was more like not State of the Union, but more of a campaign speech.
Yeah. As well. And you're not the only one who has said that, Tim. And thank you so much for calling. And what a great idea to sit down with your kid and watch the State of the Union. That's a terrific exercise.
I don't disagree with that. The stuff I saw, I mean, yeah, he's in a campaign year. And if you go back to every president's reelection, I'm sure that they're the State of the Union that falls on their reelection year is going to have a different flavor to it. But let's face it. Every State of the Union is a re-election campaign.
It's a stump speech.
It's a, hey, look what I did. We did it together, but hey, look what I did.
Just a couple of other takeaways from last night. President Biden said, you can't love your country only when you win.
That's a great line.
And the only Republican who stood up and applauded was Mitt Romney. Mm. The Republicans sat on their hands a whole lot. Unless they were screaming like,
hey, Mike Johnson clapped a couple times.
He did. And he also, we could do a whole segment about Mike Johnson's face. There's a whole lot of material right there about Mr. Johnson and his various looks, which I thought ranged from, oh, aren't you sweet, old man?
Yeah.
To, I'm so disappointed in you. To,
bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your heart. And then the other big takeaway from last night, and wow, Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama who delivered the Republican rebuttal to President Biden last night, is being savaged this morning, not just from Democrats.
Yeah.
Republicans are all over this, and they're not happy.
Why is that?
Jesse Kelly says, not what I'd prefer out of the GOP response. There's no question Katie Britt has mastered the ultimate weapon of dames everywhere, the fake cry. That's a seasoned pro right there. Andrew Torba. Katie Britt should have been tucking her kids into bed, not giving a melodramatic political speech. The GOP desperately trying to pander to women voters with other women. This is from Andrew. Anyone who understands women knows this will never work. Women hate other women.
Boy, three comments from dudes, all misogynist in their underpinnings.
What women want and are attracted to is a strong, masculine, authoritative man. Grr, baby. Grr.
Well, get to scratching, baby. I don't know about those people who are just putting their words out in the world, but it was weird because you'd started... You know, she started just at a level, at zero, and slowly began to ramp it up. And she also has a habit of saying Biden,
yeah,
not Biden, or it's Biden.
Yeah.
And she became more and more what looked to be theatrically unhinged. Like she was reading a Lifetime movie script.
Oh, this was an audition for a soap opera.
Yeah.
This was a soap audition by far.
Yeah.
And again, I just find it so amusing that even the right thinks this was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Tim from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Tim. We don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. You know, I thought that speech was really, you know, well done. The only problem is I don't think that, you know, there's a certain amount of people on both sides who have got their minds made up and nothing is going to change their mind.
Yep.
So... You know, how effective was it? You're not reaching anybody maybe you could change to me.
Yep, absolutely appreciate it. I don't disagree with you, Tim. Thank you so much for listening. We have news coming up next. We will continue this a little bit with Dan Schaefer when we get back on the other side with the recombobulation area. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tune in Friday. We'll air the grievances and recap the State of the Union address. Devil's Advocates Fridays are the best because we made it to the weekend.
celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mother of a missing toddler from Two Rivers now faces new child neglect charges. Katrina Bauer is now accused of leaving a six-year-old in a car for about an hour in below-freezing temperatures in February. Bauer is already charged with neglecting three-year-old Elijah Vu, who's been the subject of a two-and-a-half-week-long search. People who fell into bad eating habits during the pandemic are trying to do better. Bailey Holmquist is a registered dietitian who recommends cutting out processed proteins.
If we can get good grass-fed meat, pasture-raised eggs, wild-caught fish, so that we get the most nutrients out of those animals.
Holmquist says beans and peanut butter are good alternatives that cost less and are easier to find. March is National Nutrition Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A rollover accident sends five children and an adult to the hospital. Grand Chute police say that the single vehicle accident closed Interstate 41 Thursday morning for several hours. An adult and child were ejected from the vehicle. The adult was flown by helicopter to a local hospital. The five children were taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Multiple secondary crashes happened as a result of the rollover. The Green Bay Film Festival features independent video content, and this weekend's event will feature indigenous stories, says Caitlin Schuchart.
So we've got a whole bunch of different kinds, lots of documentaries, an animated film. So I think it's going to be a lot of different kinds of stories.
The Indigenous Stories session of the Green Bay Film Festival is tomorrow, starting at 4 at the Tarleton Theater. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS WGBW News.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Can a dog be depressed when its owners break up? A new rom-com tentatively called Merv will explore the topic. Amazon MGM Studios have just announced they've signed Zooey Deschanel for the lead role of the Jessica Swale-directed film. I can't imagine how this will be entertaining, but the plot sees a couple break up and then reconcile awkwardly to take their pooch on a trip to sunny Florida to lift his spirits. Can you imagine being so depressed you don't want your belly scratched? Oh, and spoiler alert, it's the dog's fault. Taylor Swift is certainly nothing if not original. Not only does she write her own songs, she makes her own Pop-Tarts. Great way to save pennies. In fact, Pop-Tarts actually wants the recipe for Taylor's tarts. During the NFL season, Swift made a batch of her homemade sweets and gave them to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. In a related story, Kanye West says Beyonce's Pop-Tarts are better, even though she doesn't make them herself. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Dark and damp today with rain ramping up this afternoon as high temperatures climb to the low 40s. Tonight, winds begin to whip out of the north, pulling in below freezing temperatures. This is going to start to mix in some snow overnight and into early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Dan Schaefer is here so we can recombobulate as we do every Friday at this time. Dan, we were talking about the State of the Union address last night and taking people's comments, and we're going to talk to you about that. But we have some folks on the line who have been very patient. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. What do you want to say about last night's speech from President Biden?
Yeah, good morning, Jane. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we must all realize that. Also, we need to get money out of politics so we can truly restore government back to we the people. Second, home run. Joe Biden hit a home run. He didn't just talk about, getting up there and saying how great everything was, but he got up there and talked about actual policy. And the policies are there. I would actually recommend to the gentleman that was with his son is a lot of people out there in the country don't understand that we have three branches of government. So therefore, a State of the Union address actually can kind of show you the three different branches of government and why it is that we are not getting the things done. So not just a campaign type of speech, but I don't know if you know this, but it was the Republicans who normally the speech happens end of January.
Right. They pushed it back.
The Republicans that pushed it back. So therefore, it was after Super Tuesday even.
Yep.
So maybe they would have gotten more of a different type of speech. But I would say that he hit on policies and actually contrasted the difference and why it is that we are not getting these policies done. And I would like to say to all of my Republican friends out there that when I say we the people are the government, that's not political. That's actually what I'm saying to all of us, including you. And when I say get money out of politics, I'm talking about getting money out of politics completely for all of us.
For
now,
both sides.
A Democratic thing, I'll stay on that side of the aisle. But I'll tell you what. What I'm saying, it should not be a political statement. These should be statements that we the people should understand. It is the first words in the Constitution.
Thank you, Tom. And we should be able to, that shouldn't be hard to agree on, that we need to get dark money out of all politics. I just don't think that that's a tough, I don't think that's a tough decision. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thank you for your patience. Mark, what do you want to say about last night's speech?
Yeah, I've just been reading the text. I didn't watch it. I've just been hearing the outtakes of it and hearing the comments on it. And to go off what Tom just said, it's not just we the people, it's also to create a more perfect union. We should be continuing to strive for it, create more, to recreate the more perfect union, to better protect a more perfect union, because they realized they weren't doing something perfect back then, but we must strive for continuing to perfect our union. And that's what Biden has tried to do is for the past 4 years. I mean, the criticism I've heard some say this morning, well, it was a political speech, it was a campaign speech. Well, no explicit. He has to make a political speech because the continuing attacks on him on a daily basis, coming not only from members in Congress there were Marjorie Taylor Greene's shameful behavior, because I have seen clips of that, but also of the past president. I haven't heard any past presidents ever assault a sitting president with such nonsense as Donald Trump has. I mean, and if Joe Biden had the immunity, total immunity, like Donald Trump claims that he has, Donald Trump's head would already be on a pike someplace on display on the White House grounds.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you so much, Mark. Always appreciate you calling and listening. It's interesting how that they failed to see that if this total immunity thing were applied to all presidents, how that could potentially not work in their favor. But
Jimmy Carter's going to screw some things up.
Dan Schaefer, what was your takeaway from last night's State of the Union address?
I thought it was a terrific speech. I thought Biden really hit a lot of the marks. I thought he brought the energy, answered a lot of questions that some people might have about him. And I think it was really, it was long on policy. It was about the issues. It was about the different things, that I think the accomplishments of his administration that often have gone, you know, overlooked by some. And I think not only that, but pointing to, you know, what the possible, you know, possible issues could be if he were elected to a second term. So I thought he really, you know, hit the mark in this speech overall. And I think, you know, I think some of the strongest moments was when there was some of that interplay between the, the Republicans in Congress. They're reacting, and Biden kind of, you know, he kind of walked him into this trap where they were reacting to a number of things. And, you know, for a guy who's been characterized as this doddering old guy, to just have total command of the room and total command of, you know, the Republicans, who he's you know, talking about the immigration bill, talking about Social Security and Medicare, and some of their policies on things like that. I thought it was a really, really good speech from Biden, and came at the absolutely right time.
Well, and I think, again, and this is pure speculation on my part, and I own that, but had the situation been reversed and the former president was delivering his State of the Union address and members of Congress of the opposing party called out things at him and shouted at him that he's a liar and all that stuff, he'd say, go punch him in the head. That's just me.
I mean, it would be very different.
Yes, it would have been very different.
Jay would have been like, yeah, they're saying what I'm thinking.
Did you, Dan, did you have a chance to watch the Republican response from Alabama's Katie Britt?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I didn't catch the whole thing, but it was interesting. I feel like that's such that State of the Union response. There's just, it's so hard to do. And I feel like anybody who's given that platform is just doomed. It just seems like there's no good way to be in that position. And yeah, I don't think the senator from Alabama did a terrific job.
Well, you know, I asked the question on Pat's show this morning. You know, I don't think anyone, regardless of party, has ever, and even Bernie Sanders, like when he did a separate response, I don't think anyone's ever done a really great response. I kind of think it's a dumb thing to do anyways, but the GOP just suck at it prodigiously. And it seems like when they have their people who do it, these, what they think are the shining superstars of the future GOP, they then get relegated to the back bins of the record store. And you're like, oh, remember Bobby Jindal? Not even his real name. Did you know that? You know what I mean? It's like, we don't remember, like, Marco Rubio, it's the water. It'll always be the water. Katie Britt now, well, she's
Stepford politician.
She's just with the hands, and is like, just so, I don't want to say angry and like, that woman's so angry, but she's just so upset.
Sherry on the live stream says, I love Biden. Beverly in the live stream says, the Republican response was nothing less than creepy. And I am curious for my fellow ladies, did putting her in a kitchen really help? Did that really help? We do have a texter who said that my wife thinks that she spoke to middle-class soccer moms. My wife thought her speech hit home with middle-class soccer moms. It was so performative and insincere.
Dare you say pandering?
I think the theatrics of it were tough. And I think
it was a bad audition tape.
The setting was tough too. Having her in, but I think overall, I don't know. I kind of don't think it's as bad as a lot of people are saying it is. I think the way that she presented the information in the setting was bad, but I don't think she was nearly as, but I think it's just this impossible task to give this response. I just think there's no way to deliver a good one. And I don't think she was really able to do that. So it's clear what they're trying to do though. I mean, having, you know, the youngest Republican woman in the Senate have the contrast with, you know, an older president, like, I get the contrast that they were trying to do. I just don't think it really landed the way they wanted to. But I also just don't think any of those responses are ever good.
But there's a whole bunch of right-wing pundits and MAGA who are destroying her today. because they didn't like her performance either. And I just find that so fascinating. This is your girl, man. Come on. She's sitting in a kitchen with a crucifix. What could be more GOP?
I told Jane before that the only thing that could make this more GOP friendly is if she was holding a baby while giving the speech, and as she's giving the speech, they just continued to hand her more babies, and then she just kept going and going and going.
She's surrounded by her 13 children, you know, although shocking, she only has two.
Weird.
She only has two.
We got a text that was actually directed specifically to you, Dan, from Dave in Waukesha. He said, I'd be interested in hearing Dan's take on how that night might have impacted on any undecided/independent voters. People on the ends of the spectrum will think what they are going to think, but how about the few in the middle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, Biden won with independent voters in 2020. And mm-hmm. I think that was part of the reason that he was able to win the way that he did. And I think, you know, we see so much polling about Biden's age and different things like that. I think he answered a lot of questions when it came to that, in that high profile speech in that moment. And so I think if people were on the fence about, you know, I don't know if I'm going to support this guy because of his age, I think he answered a lot of those questions specifically. Yeah. And I think he also, you know, in the policies that he talked about, you know, I think the vision for a potential second term and a vision for and just a recounting of the bipartisan wins in a lot of ways that have happened under the Biden administration. I think it was a good reminder of what a lot of those have been and what a lot of those could be going forward.
If you're just joining us, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, as we do every Friday at this time. And we're talking about last night's State of the Union address delivered by President Biden. Just a couple of more notes about this before we move along, Dan. Kayleigh McEnany, who was in the Trump administration at one time, on Fox or something this morning, quote, "Who do you want to be president next time around? The angry, divisive guy last night or the guy who tried to unify the country?" Unquote. So just quickly on Truth Social last night, after President Biden's speech or during Biden's speech, Trump called him a psycho, and Trump's Biden's supporters are radical left lunatics. So that sounds so unifying and so loving.
The uniter. Yeah, and Donald Trump, the uniter.
Let's all come together and hug. It's all warm and fuzzy, and it's all good.
You know, I feel like Republicans are really in a place right now where they're really trying to backpedal after this speech. I saw I was watching the broadcast on ABC last night. They had Reince Priebus as their Republican talking about this. Reince Priebus even came on ABC and said Biden passed the health and wellness test and had good things to say about the speech. So even when you have somebody as partisan as Reince Priebus coming on and kind of, you know, giving some backhanded praise to Biden, I feel like that's an indicator that the president certainly won the night.
Well, considering Reince Priebus's long history of medical experience and knowledge, which I'm sure he weighs in about women's health, I feel confident.
I feel confident
that we're all good.
Folks, for those who don't know and can't pick up on the tone, that is called sarcasm. Jane is a master at it.
Am I sarcastic?
We got a text.
Jane? Sarcastic?
No. Liz from Saukville texts in and says, I thought President Biden did a spectacular job. I thought the Republican response was creepy, and it seems like she wrote it ahead of time because it seems like she didn't address his address.
Because it looked like it was pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah.
It did. All right. We are going to move on when we return. The Popcorn King and the Recall.
I'd watch that.
855-75-CIVIC if you ever want to join us. Leave a comment on the live stream. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. The Surgeon of Sound, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. If you're listening in Hayward on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, wherever you are, across Wisconsin, across the country, around the globe, you can always join us. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And you can shoot us an email, too, if there's a guest you want us to highlight or something happening in your community. We would love to hear about it. Send your email to janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have a complaint, talk to Calvin. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. He recombobulates with us every Friday from 10:30 to 11. Let's talk about Robin Voss. Dan Schaefer?
Let's talk about him. Yeah. The longtime Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, now potentially facing a recall.
Are they really going to pull this off?
I have no idea. I don't really know what to make of this effort. I have not really taken it all that seriously. But over the past week, I've noticed that they have radio ads up. And Robin Voss even cut a video ad on his own, reiterating the fact that, making it very clear that he does support Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He made comments, you know, earlier this year that said he would do everything in his power to make sure that Donald Trump is not the nominee. Of course, Donald Trump is, of course, going to be the nominee. So looking forward to Robin Voss supporting him at the RNC in Milwaukee this summer. But I think that, you know, I haven't really taken this effort seriously. Like Mike Lindell came for an event and just making jokes about, you know, all of that entails. But now they have until Monday to get these signatures. So there was a story in Wisconsin Public Radio did today on this and said that, you know, they interviewed one of the organizers who said that they are either, you know, most of the way there or all of the way there or close to crossing the finish line with regard to getting these 7,000 signatures in Voss's 63rd Assembly District in Western Racine County to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But now I must caution that this recall volunteer, Harry Waite, is somebody who is facing felony charges for fraudulently requesting absentee ballots.
Yes.
He's part of this HOT government group, which is acronym for, and they are just like off the deep end election deniers in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, Robin Voss tried so hard to placate many of these election deniers by making Janelle Branchen the head of the Elections Committee, launching the Gableman investigation, launching all of these different crazy things in the Assembly on election administration and things like that. And now, you know, those election deniers who had their whims catered to by Robin Voss, they're saying, hey, what about us? You know, you were trying to you were supposed to be all about the election integrity.
It was
and
rigged.
All of these
it was
other,
rigged.
All of these other things. And you went back on this and you're, you know, all of these different things. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they actually pull this off. Like, I'm expecting it to not really go anywhere, but you never know. I have no idea what to make of this. And I think it is potentially a huge story as Voss, you know, tries to prepare for probably the most difficult state legislative election landscape he's seen in more than a decade because of the gerrymander, and now is dealing with this crazy recall effort. So, yeah, they've got until 5 p.m. on Monday to see if they get those 7,000 signatures.
You know,
it'd be interesting to see if they pull it off.
And that's the thing I don't understand is, has anyone explained to this group, just wait a few months, find a candidate and run him in the reelection that's happening? Because if he if he gets recalled, or if the recall goes through and there is an election, it will only make him more relevant and smart and stronger. Like, he will get out the vote. He's good at what he does. He's good. He will get the votes he needs. And then he'll have to run, if I'm not mistaken, again in November because he's up for reelection again. And they'll just say, let's keep him in, to keep this guy in place. I feel like if they just wait a few months and find a good candidate to run against him, they don't have to worry about this reelection stuff. It's distracting. When Mike Lindell shows up in, I think it was Franksville or Sturtevant, you know you've done something wrong.
But as Dan pointed out, he whet their appetite. He fed them just enough, thinking that this was going to keep these election deniers off his back. All the real far rights, the Janelle Branchons and all those people, I'll indulge you a little bit. I'll give you a little bit. Well, I'm sorry, Robin, but this is your monster. You created this, and now they're coming for you, and you don't like it.
Well, and now there's a whole bunch of, like, the conservative media world. I don't know if you ever really pay attention to what's going on over there, but it's very contentious among some conservative talk radio hosts. You had, I think, Dan O'Donnell defending Robin Voss. This guy with the Regular Joe show up in the Fox Valley was the voice of the ad for the recall organizers and things like that, saying that the Dan O'Donnell report was fraudulent. So this really seems to have, you know, kicked the hornet's nest in the conservative media world. And so it's just, and like you said, it's, you know, Voss is going to be facing an election this fall anyway. You know, he might face a primary challenge in August, like he did a couple years ago, mm-hmm. with Adam Steen and the other election deniers that rallied around, you know, Michael Gableman, Donald Trump, all the, you know, the rest of, got the band together to support the primary challenge. You know, it's going to be, who knows if that, you know, if this recall effort does go forward, you know, how that would maybe overlap. You know, would they have a candidate ready to go if they were able to get
this?
Like, who
too.
Is the candidate?
Well,
if they do get these signatures, you know, they have there's a whole lot of uncertainty about which race, which maps that this would be under exactly. I think there's been some back and forth about that since Evers signed the map. So there's a lot of questions with this. And I guess it starts with, you know, if they get those valid signatures by Monday.
Yeah, a lot of questions, including who's bankrolling this lunacy. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 so we can recombobulate. I highly encourage you to subscribe to the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
Stay close. News is coming up next when we return. Oh, it's this weekend. It's the clock thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yes! You're all the things I've got to remember. Be shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on me.
Take on me. I'll be gone. From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn. This Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Fresh off last night's State of the Union address, the Biden administration this morning is touting new jobs numbers that show the economy